Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam
Welcome
Crowley.
Back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Hey, it's Sam Crowley. And it really is the one day a week that I get to say it really is Saturday on the calendar. It's Saturday, March 29th, the last Saturday in March of 2014. Not the last Saturday ever, certainly. When every day is Saturday, it ain't even close to being the last one. But hey, we'll get into that in just a second. Real quick, if you're a first-time listener to the Everyday Saturday podcast, my name is Sam Crowley, founder of a website, wait for it, everydayissaturday.com. Head on over there, put your name and email in so I can stay in touch with you to motivate, inspire, empower you, like all the other people in hundreds of countries around the world. Check it out on Twitter, man. All the great love. We're getting all the great Twitter love of people finally getting off the rusty duff and making it happen, man, and going after their passion, their dream, monetizing their passion, understanding that it's just nuts. I mean, it is absolutely flat out nuts to work 5 days a week at a job that you don't like to do just to be able to ask for those 2 days off. And who picked those 2 days anyway? Like, why not get Wednesday and Thursday off or something along those lines? But to have just get the weekend off so you can get back in the job on Monday. Now, I'm shooting a video this Monday. Oh, let me just finish that. I'll get into the video I'm shooting in just a second. Being stuck in traffic, it's going to be awesome. So I founded this website about 8 years ago, everydayissaturday.com. Had no money. I had no idea what a website even was. Being totally honest with you, like, I had no idea how pages connected to each other. Didn't know what a blog was. Certainly didn't know what this contraption is that I'm speaking into right now, a microphone with a, you know, a podcast that's being blasted out on iTunes. Hey, by the way, if you are a listener of the show, which obviously you are because you're hearing my voice, head on into iTunes. Would you please give the show a 5-star rating? Leave a great comment. It helps other people find the show. You don't have to do it. I won't know if you do it. But, it sure would mean a lot to get our show ranked high on iTunes so other people can find it. So, literally, just stop right now. Get on iTunes, pause, I'll wait, and then come back and listen to the show. So, you know, back when I first got going, here's the best advice I ever got, and that's the title of today's podcast. I never said it was going to be easy, but I'm telling you that it's going to be worth it. And there's a big difference. That's advice I got from one of my mentors back in the day saying, hey, Sam, you want to get into real estate investing, you want to be a speaker, you want to be an online entrepreneur, all these great things. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be easy, dude. But it will be worth it if you can stay in it. And it's tough sometimes, man. I mean, let's just call it the way it is, right? I mean, sometimes you wake up, you're in a great mood. Sometimes you wake up, you're not in that same great mood. Sometimes you got a boatload of energy, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you run into people that really hack you off and rub you the wrong way, and sometimes you run into like a Mother Teresa and a Pope Francis in the same person, and they're just amazing people, and you wonder, God, why can't I be that nice, you know? Life throws all these different curveballs your way, but when you learn to adapt and you learn to understand, here's the one thing you got to always keep focusing on is, why are you doing what you're doing? Eventually, when you got going, when you finally realized, okay, I'm going to stop being average, which was the title of yesterday's show, average sucks. I hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I hate when anybody refers to me as average. That, I'm telling you, I'd rather be hated, I'd rather be loved, but just don't call me average. I talked about it on yesterday's podcast about people that want to fly below the radar. I never have gotten that. I'll never understand that. You get one chance in your life to be great, to do great things, to make an impact on the world, on humanity, whatever it is you want to do, man. But you got to understand, why are you even doing this? It can't be for the money. It just can't be. You're going to get all the money you ever wanted as a reward for the value that you're going to bring. But what are you going to bring? Like, what is it? Write it down right now. Just write down three things. What is it? For me, if I want to be a real estate investor, I want to speak, I want to sell my products on the internet. You know, aside from obviously wanting to be home with my kids and be a dad and a husband because, you know, being one of eight kids and growing up really in a single parent family without a whole heck of a lot of money, being a parent and having a stable family, you know, there really is something to that. You know, you look at these statistics, especially in our African American community, where 73% of the children grow up in homes without a father present. Think about that. You know, African Americans, 73% grow up in a home without a father. And I can tell you firsthand, growing up in a home without a father, that is a tremendous challenge. You know, if you have a saint for a mom like I did, you have somebody that busts their ass every single day and they're not making enough money, yet they're still finding a way to put food on the table and, you know, they're doing everything they can do. The gifts are under the tree at Christmas time, but it just ain't the same. You know, you can't go outside and throw the football with mom who's tired after work. I mean, well, maybe 15 years old. Say, hey, mom, go do a curl route down the side, right? It just ain't going to happen, you know? And not having that father figure, that influence in your life makes a difference. It definitely shaped who I was. You know, I can tell that there's things I'm missing in my own personality and in my own life as a result of growing up in a single-parent family. But that's the cards that I was dealt, man. You know, I'm not looking for a boo-hoo, feel sorry for Sam, but I look at our different communities. I specifically was mentioning the African-American community where 73% of the kids grow up without a father figure in the home. That's tragic. I mean, ain't no bones about that. That is tragic, you know. And if you're an entrepreneur, especially an African-American entrepreneur, for example, and your why is to be a dad because you want to break that generational, you want to call it generational poverty, you want to call it generational dysfunction, whatever you want to call it. And it's not just specific to that one demographic. That's just the one example I use because it's in the, I just saw the statistic. It's fresh in my mind. You got to have a tremendous, tremendous something pulling you through when you know it ain't going to be easy. You know it's not going to be easy. Look at it. Look at people that share their success on Twitter. You know, that hit me up there. By the way, it's at Sam Crowley on Twitter. And you can use the hashtag every day is Saturday so we can find the tweet. We'll give you a little love, highlight it, favorite it, retweet, all the good stuff. Because we want to highlight a lot of the great stories that just came in this week. I mean, people buying their first real estate property. People launching their website for the first time. People giving their first speech with no speaking experience. All of that as a result for figuring out, finally, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, because we've all been trained, you know, conditionally to say, okay, I'm doing this because I'm going to make $20 an hour, make $30 an hour, make $50 an hour, or I'm going to make $50,000 a year, and I get my 401k, I get my stock options, I get my health care, all of that stuff. But you got to think differently when you're going to go make this thing on your own. It's got to be completely different thought process. I'm doing this because I want to be home. I want to be home with my kids. I want to see my kids more. I want to be part of my family more. I want to be part of my community more. I want to have some sort of meaning in my life and everything that I'm doing. It just can't be about the money. But let me tell you something. Your payday is coming. Your payday is coming. For all my real estate investor listeners, for example, when I know you got the big mortgage note right now. I know you're probably doing, you may be doing a rehab or maybe you're buying these properties for cash flow, whatever it is. There's going to be some lean months. You're going to be dipping into your savings account. You're going to be dipping into your retirement to keep the lights on, to pay the contractors that are doing the work of the house. Maybe a tenant stiffs you. They move out. But I'm here to tell you, man, when I first got started in that real estate game back in 2002, I'm happy that I didn't know everything I know now. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, man. I mean, I literally borrowed $300,000 from a bank to buy my first couple of rental properties. And I just signed my name. I mean, back in 2002, they were giving money away here in the United States. I mean, literally, just sign your name, 720 credit score, how much money do you want? And, you know, you had a good job or whatever. You could, you know, prove that you had income coming in. It was just, here you go. Here's some more money for you. And I just kept borrowing and borrowing. I learned a couple tips and tricks. I learned in real estate investor, like have the seller carry the note. Have the seller carry 20% back so you can just get an 80% loan. Have the seller carry as much, if not all, of the closing costs. I mean, I got so good at some of these closings where I wasn't walking away with a check at closing, but I wasn't paying a dime to own the property. I overpaid, which I didn't mind at all. It actually got, this is funny, I actually got a call from the seller one time. We closed on a property. This was back probably 10, 11 years ago. Irate. I mean, all shades of mad at me. We closed. He got what he wanted. He got actually a little bit more, but he was upset. And I couldn't, he's like yelling. I couldn't even, like, whoa, slow down. I just came from closing, because I was in Cincinnati, and it was an out-of-town closing back in PA. Reading me the riot act up and down. I just came from the closing, I'm pissed off. I'm like, what could you possibly, I go, let me ask you a question. Did you get what you thought you were going to get? Did the HUD statement read correctly? Did you get the amount you want? Yeah. You didn't have to put one red cent of your money into this deal. I'm like, okay, what does that possibly have to do with you? Why would you be mad about what my part of the equation was? Are you jealous? Are you, you know what? I never understood it. Like, dude, slow down. Let me understand this correctly. Let me just, and I always paraphrase. Do you want to defuse something real quick? Always paraphrase. Say, let me understand this correctly. Okay, you're upset because I didn't put as much money into this deal as you did, meaning he had to pay closing costs, which whatever that was, you know, $3,000-$5,000. I didn't pay anything because he paid my closing costs. But the bottom line was the bottom line. He got the money, but he was focused on the wrong thing. He wasn't focused on the fact that he just got whatever the amount was, $100,000, $200,000 in his pocket. Done deal. Here you go. Bank gives him a check. And maybe he paid more, $5,000-$8,000. I don't know what it was. Maybe he paid $20,000 of closing costs. I can't remember exactly what it was. But he paid them all, his side and my side. But that was the deal. You know, I knew why I was doing this, okay? And I was well-versed, and I paid a lot of money to go to these real estate boot camps that showed me how to negotiate contracts, you know? So while ignorance is bliss, knowledge is power. I mean, it really is. But it's not just the knowledge that's the power. It's what you do with that knowledge. It's applied knowledge, I think, is the best way to put it. Because if you could be the smartest person, and this is why all the A students work for the C students after a while, because you could have all the knowledge in the world, but if you're not a mover, a shaker, a risk taker, somebody that's willing to just throw it all out there, then you're going to end up, you know, getting that part of the deal where somebody just basically tells you the terms and you do it, but you understand why you're doing it. His motive should have just been get that bottom line amount of money and move on. That's what mine was, control the property. See, in real estate especially, and this goes for any business, you want control. You don't want to own anything, but you want to control everything. You set up LLCs or S-Corps or C-Corps, and that's for your attorney to discuss and your accountant as well. You set up business structures that are the best for you. And you want to control everything, and you don't want to own anything. You know, and you might be thinking, I don't understand how that works. What are you talking about? How can I control but not own it? Well, the business owns it, whatever LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp. Personally, you're going to have to guarantee the note to the bank. And you're going to have to sign your name and guarantee that. But you're not going to own it. It's going to be entitled into your business name for a lot of great reasons. Tax liability, personal liability. In real estate especially, slip and falls, dog bites, people getting injured or whatever it is on your property, they can come after you if the property's in your name, for example. And that goes for any business. I mean, if you're a brick-and-mortar business, you own a coffee shop, you own a florist, you own whatever it is, a restaurant, you don't put it in your name. Never, never, never put it in your name. You always put it in a business name, and you control that business structure, that business entity. But all of that stuff, it ain't easy. You know, it's easy to set up now. God, I look back in the day, and I keep comparing back in the day, you know, but I can only share my stories. I don't like talking. Some people may be thinking, geez, dude, you talk about yourself on every show because it's all I know. You know, every now and again, I'll cite a book that I read, but everybody does that. You know, somebody I heard speak, everybody does that. I want you to understand what it's like, a real life account, a journey from somebody who's making every day Saturday, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, and I look back and I think of when I used to set these business structures up, paying attorneys hundreds of dollars, sometimes thousands of dollars to set them up and file it for you. You get on LegalZoom right now and for a couple $100 have your LLC filed in your state, and it's literally just point click, point click, point click, boom, you're done. You know what I mean? So it's simple now, but it's not easy, but it's so worth it, man. Think about this. Close your eyes, man, unless you're driving. Don't close your eyes or you're on a treadmill. But just think about this, man. Envision 3 years from now. Hell, envision 2 years from now. It doesn't need to be 3 years, but I don't know how hard you're going to work. I don't know what your schedule is right now. If you're in a job like I was, I first started having these dreams in 1997, 1998. And I used to just think, what if, I mean, I dragged my wife. I mean, we would go back and look at restaurants. And at one point, literally in 1998, 1999, I think it was, I was like this close to quitting my job for like, this was going to be like the 50th time I was going to quit my job. I never did until I finally did. But, and move us back to a small town and run a restaurant in the middle of nowhere. When I call a restaurant would be too glamorous. It was a, I mean, it's a restaurant, but it was attached to a gas station in a town of about 800 people. Think about that. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. We're talking homemade pies. I said, Ange, yeah, you can get up. I mean, 4 a.m, bake those pies. And she's looking at me like, are you kidding me? I'm not even 30 years old. You think I'm going to sit in a small town, live above a restaurant, and bake pies? My God, what happened to the guy that I married that was driving around an Infiniti with leather seats, corporate, going up the ladder? Where'd that guy go? That's who my wife thought she married, man, the corporate guy with the Infiniti and leather seats. Those were good times, man, but I'm glad I got out of those. And we never ended up buying that restaurant, but it got the wheels turning. I used to dream. And every entrepreneur that I was buying anything from or looking to buy it from, whatever, they will always say, hey, it ain't easy, so don't get it. And I got to hand it to him, you know, except the guy that sold me to Quiznos. I think he's the only one that said it was really easy, and that was the one I failed at and lost $300,000 and went bankrupt. So I guess there's the lesson right there. If somebody tells you it's easy, run as fast as you can the other way. Look it on the internet. Check out your Facebook feed, you know. Look at all these people saying how easy it is. It ain't easy. I'm telling you, it might be easy for them, but look at what they've been doing. Look at how long they've been doing it. If you have no connections, you have no momentum. You know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have a way to get that big snowball going down the other side of the hill, it doesn't matter. So be very careful when you're online or looking at business. I'm giving you my own experience, my own advice. I'm telling you, it's worth it to get going right now, but don't believe anybody or anything or anybody that says, hey, this is easy. I'm making $100,000 a month. This is easy. I'm making $100,000 a year. It's easy. It ain't easy. It just isn't. That's not reality. But you know what? What's harder? Getting up right now and learning how to monetize your passion, or getting up Monday morning knowing that you've got another 5 dreadful days ahead of you doing what you don't want to do, working for people that you don't want to work for. You know you're smarter than them. You know you've got better ideas with them, but you don't have the in, you don't have the title, therefore you don't have the clout. And if you don't have the clout, you don't really have any business making decisions, any authority at all. You know what's beautiful about being an entrepreneur? Check this out. The good news and the bad news is you look in the mirror and that's the person you work for right there. You like that person? Some of you don't. I didn't. I didn't like the person I used to work for. And it was me. You know why? Because I was scared. I was fearful. I didn't know anything. And I was always thinking the worst case scenario was going to happen. So I finally said, damn it, Sam, you got kids, man. You got a wife. We're not messing around anymore. There's no boss that's going to come to your rescue. There's nobody. You're not going to get that salary if you don't produce. Scared the hell out of me. But boy, it also excited me, man. That's why I talk about the very beginning in the intro about sitting in the front seat of the roller coaster. You know, that's fun. That's a lot of fun to me. For some other people, it's not fun. And I get that, but it's not always that. Eventually, when that roller coaster is going now for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, you can move your way to the middle seat. Or heck, you can even sit in the back seat if you want to. And you can even close your eyes and let it just kind of guide you because you've got that thing going now at such a good speed. And it's on track. It's literally on the track. No matter what you try to do, unless you do something incredibly stupid, nothing bad's going to happen. You can do the corkscrew loops. You can go upside down. You can just keep riding that roller coaster because you're still going to feel the fun part of it, but you're not going to have any of the anxiety anymore. And I think the worst thing about riding a roller coaster is riding it for the first time or the first few times. You know, I overcame my fear. I think I shared this with you guys on the podcast. I overcame my fear last summer. We got season passes for the first time. We lived 10 minutes from Kings Island here in Cincinnati. Never been. Now my kids are old enough. They can get in, ride a lot of the rides and stuff. So I was deathly afraid of roller coasters. Those of you that follow me on Instagram and Facebook, all I did last summer was post videos and photos riding the same flipping roller coaster. I mean, Diamondback, the Beast, the Vortex, front seat, all over the place, man. Crazy. Love it now. Can't get enough of it. I conquered that fear. And there's a great metaphor there with business. You know, you're fearful now, possibly, of getting started behind, you know, what's going to happen, what's behind door number one. Let me tell you something. You're going to have that fear, and you're going to have that anxiety, and you're going to have that worry, and that's natural. I wish I could tell you to just let it go, but I'm not stupid. I know it's there, you know, and the only way you're going to cure that fear of failing, the only way you're going to cure that fear of, oh my God, what if this doesn't work, is to get on that roller coaster and just let it go, man. Get going up the hill. You have to let that thing just pull you, man. Just let it keep pulling you and pulling you and pulling you to the top. And that thing that's pulling you is your dream. That is your why. It's what you are. Why are you doing this? to be a spouse, to be a parent, to be a better sibling, to be a better community, to give more. Some of you have just a tremendous heart. You want to give. Well, you'll be able to give more money than you could ever imagine if you just let yourself go. Be great. Leave the baggage behind, man, and get after it in a big, big way. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. My name's Sam Crowley. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter, at Sam Crowley, and have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter, at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.